This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. And for the first time in quite some time here, we are doing a Phillies Today podcast where the Philadelphia Phillies do not currently own the best record in Major League Baseball. Yet it has been a very tough go for the Phils over the last couple of weeks, and especially since the All-Star break. Phils getting swept by the Yankees at home after already losing four straight series. So they lose their fifth straight series in uninspiring fashion at home in front of some packed crowds. And for the first time this year, it feels like we are in a little bit of a panic mode with the Phillies. Not full-fledged panic yet. I'm not fully slamming the panic button, but it's getting there. We are getting pretty close in these standings now. I mean, the Atlanta Braves are six games back of the Phillies for what also seems like the first time in a while, or the closest it's been in a while, and it has just not been good over the past few weeks. And, you know, even spanning back to London at this point, the Phillies are 21-24 since arriving in London in mid-June. And, like I said, lost the last five series since the Dodgers sweep. They are six up on the Braves in the division, only eight up on the Mets, who honestly might intimidate me a little more than the Braves with the depth of their lineup. We'll see if their pitching can hold up. But yeah, six up on the Braves, eight up on the Mets, and only 2.5 up on the Dodgers as well. I mean, this home field for the National League is all but guaranteed, or not, certainly not guaranteed at this point. And then the Cleveland Guardians passed the Phillies for the best record in baseball, which, to be honest, was kind of getting old at this point, because it just felt like that was something that Rob Thompson, the Phillies, could use as to say, you know, we're playing fine. Like, we'll get this together. We're playing good baseball. No, you don't have the best record in baseball anymore. So clearly something is wrong with the Phillies right now. They're going through probably what you would hope is their worst stretch of the season right now. And look, it's happened in other years. I saw our buddy John Foley on Twitter said in 08, that team that won 92 games went 4-11, over 15 in late June. In 09, another team that won well over 90 games and had playoff success, they went 3-12 over 15 in June. So it happens. But when you go back to the London thing and to the fact that they are 21-24 to what in their last 45 games, that's not a small sample size. So that is definitely something that causes some concern there. And just the fact that it feels like when, and Rob Thompson says it after a lot of these games, when their pitching isn't going well, they're hitting. And when their hitting isn't going well, they're pitching. It just feels like nothing is, you know, everything came so easy when this team was just winning, rattling off wins all of, you know, April, May, and into early June. And it just always felt like no matter where they were in a game, if they were two runs down, if they were a run down to the ninth, there was a good chance they were coming back. Like, I watched some of these games now. I think to myself, there's no way they're coming back in this game, even if they're down a run. Like, the one against Cleveland where Stephen Kwan hits the home run, and then against Alvarado, and then the bullpen comes in, does their job, but the offense just could get absolutely nothing going that day. And granted, the Cleveland Guardians have one of the best bullpens in baseball, obviously led by Emmanuel Clase, but I just never felt like they were going to come back in that game. And even the one the other night where they lose to the Yankees in extra innings, and I'm going to get to the Yankees series a little bit more in depth here, but even that one they lose and they get the run on the Johan Rojas, I guess, wild pitch. He got a great break on that ball, but on the wild pitch where Rojas scores, even in extra innings, I never thought to myself, I'm like, they are winning this game right here. And it's just that confidence is, and that swagger is the thing that made them so, I think, great in the early going of the season. And now it just feels like they don't have that confidence. They don't have that swagger about them every time they go on the field, to the fact where they thought they were going to win every game when they step on the field. It just feels like right now they're in one of those places to where it feels like nothing is going their way. They're not getting any of the bounces. They're getting Austin Hayes to fly out to the freaking warning track four times or whatever it was. But it's frustrating, but it's something that I really truly don't feel is going to last. But I will say, this is a make-or-break road trip coming up right here. You have 10 games on the road. Maybe best that this team gets out of Philadelphia right now and goes to the West Coast where there will be some less eyes on them. But it's a tough go for the Phillies and for Rob Thompson and for everybody in that clubhouse right now. So want to get to the Yankee series a little bit. I want to get to some of the trade deadline stuff because I haven't been able to come on since the trade deadline was off last week for vacation. So want to talk about the trades a little bit here, the Estevez and the Hayes move, as well as the Tanner Banks one, and talk about the Soto move as well. Want to talk about just this lineup right now, Bryce Harper, what's going on with him, and just the whole top of the order that has been just really, really going through it lately. And going to get to some other stuff too. Rob Thompson, Rangers IL stint, Mariners preview as well, and just a little zoom out on the schedule a little bit to go along with that. So plenty to talk about today. Not the most fun stuff, I will say. Definitely not the Phillies podcast I've been looking forward to the most ever. But we're going to get into it, and we are going to break all of this stuff down here. So first off, with the Yankees series, just so frustrating when you have all those New York fans, whether it's, we've seen it with the Sixers in the playoffs. We've seen it with, obviously, Phillies Yankees here. Whenever the New York fans come down or come from wherever they are, because, they're from all over, Jersey, wherever, when they come down here and their teams dominate in your home ballpark or your home arena, it is just the worst, man. Because I don't think the Phillies fans got, pushed around at all or, got outdid, because obviously they had much, much less to cheer for. But the Yankee fans were loud. I went to the game on Wednesday, and they were, definitely making their presence felt. So as annoying as the series was, that just made it only worse. And one thing that I wanted to bring up first that kind of bothered me, that I thought was a big reason as to why the Yankees maybe had as much success as they did, is the book is out on the Yankees in terms of what makes them go. It is Juan Soto and Aaron Judge being the best 1-2 punch in baseball, and the rest of that lineup, meh, it's not that great. You have Verdugo, who's pretty inconsistent and doesn't make some of the greatest contacts sometimes, but he'll walk for you. You have Volpe, who struggled this year. You have Stanton, who just came off the IL. You have freaking DJ LeMahieu getting 6 RBIs after basically doing nothing all season and being old and injured and hurt. And that was just, that made me so mad. But anyway, Soto and Judge are what makes that train move. And the fact is, I think the Phillies maybe took that too literal to a sense, as to where I thought they were just really scared to pitch to Judge and Soto all series. And part of that could have been as to, in the first pitch Judge saw in the series to Zach Wheeler, Zach Wheeler hangs him a slider or a breaking pitch or whatever it was, and he hits it, smashes it into the left field seats. And then he ends up going to hit another home run that night in what was, an absolutely embarrassing game. But it just, I thought they gave almost too much credit to them and not enough credit to the other guys. As I know, that's probably the method as to what they wanted to do. But at the same time, those are major league hitters. And as unfortunate as it was, Jazz Chisholm, who the Phillies could have acquired at the deadline, and not that I think they should have, but he was definitely an option for them, he absolutely goes off and he torches you, and had that just huge home run the second game of the series against Matt Strom, to where Strom was a little careful with the guys in front of him, and he ends up putting two guys on walking couple, and then Jazz Chisholm makes him pay and takes the lead, and then they end up winning the game in extra. So it is just something where I think you have to be careful to judge Soto, because obviously they're what makes that lineup go. And if they don't do, if they're not producing, usually the Yankees aren't winning, which again wasn't the case this series, but just how it went down. I just thought that they were really, really careful with them. And I think that if you have that confidence, and if you're a Zach Wheeler, if you're a Matt Strom, if you're Jose Alvarado, whoever you are, you have to go into that at bat with a swagger about yourself that, yeah, they have to face me. Like, I know I have to face Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, but they have to face me here. And I just didn't get that sense from any of these guys, really. And it just felt like they were almost being, after those first couple Judge home runs, they were almost being too careful and then allowing guys to get on. And thus, the bottom of the order, it ended up doing some damage. And you have guys like TJ LeMahieu getting six RBI there. So just a really tough series. And they didn't pitch well. Obviously, like, the Zach Wheeler getting shelled on Monday night, that doesn't happen very often. You don't expect that to happen. So am I worried about him long term? No. But I would just say, and he's going to get a start here against Seattle coming up, so I would expect him to bounce back. And if you look at it, he's really only had two bad starts this year. That one and the one in Baltimore, I guess the AL East thing. But I would just say that it's definitely an anomaly for Wheeler. He was just leaving a lot of pitches up, and I thought the Yankees certainly took advantage of it for sure. But that happens on Monday. Then Tuesday, it is just, you get the Austin Hayes home run, which is awesome. I'm going to talk more about Austin Hayes in a minute after I'm done this Yankee stuff. You get the Austin Hayes home run to make it 4-1. Then I'm like, all right, great. Bounce back. That's awesome. And then, like I said, you let base runners on, and then Jazz Chisholm, for what felt like the 50th time in the series, goes yard. And then in extras, you just, they could have played 19 innings in that game. I swear they would not have won. It just felt like it was a game where those wild pitches just, obviously, they caught some huge breaks with them. And then the Yankees were ultimately coming through with the big hits in the end. And then Wednesday, it's like, I give them credit because they did fight and they did come back after the LeMahieu Grand Slam, which was just infuriating in the moment. And I actually thought Christopher Sanchez pitched pretty decently after that. But it's just like, they have so many opportunities. They have bases loaded, it feels like, multiple times. Marsh just can't come through in a pitch-hitting situation there. And by the way, it feels like the Phillies pinch hitters have done absolutely nothing this year. Like, it is, their numbers in terms of pinch hitting have to be so bad. I think the only RBI on U.S. or I think the last RBI didn't even come on U.S. soil for the Phillies. I think it was David Dahl's pinch hit home run in London. Meanwhile, David Dahl is not even on, he's on the Iron Pigs, but he's not on the Phillies anymore. And Phillies' last pinch hit RBI came on David Dahl's home run in London in June. So not great, not great at all. But yeah, so that is how kind of that series went. And it was massively frustrating. And they lose five series in a row and get swept at home for the first time since 2022. So not great. But I want to talk about the Phillies trade deadline as well, which I also thought was not great. It was okay. I liked their moves. They got better. But at the same time, I think they could have done a lot more at this trade deadline. So let's get into it. If I were to give the Phillies a grade for this trade deadline, I would say a B minus, a low B minus to maybe a C plus is about right. I thought that they got better. I thought that they made moves to improve the team, certainly, and I thought that they addressed some of the needs that they wanted to go for. But at the same time, in terms of the bullpen, I wanted to add arms, not just replace arms, because you still have the guys like Jose Ruiz, who, by the way, should not have been put in that spot in a one-run game on Wednesday. But anyway, yeah, you still have the Jose Ruizes. You still have the Junior Martes, who you would love to be able to replace with better pitchers. But at the same time, it felt like they were trying to replace guys with better options in terms of, you know, they essentially replaced Soto with Tanner Banks. They essentially replaced Sir Anthony with Estevez, and they went for the replacement method there. And I thought maybe they just could have kept adding. But anyway, they also get their right-handed outfield bat. I don't think it was the guy that anybody saw coming here or that anybody really predicted at all in Austin Hayes. So yeah, first one was Austin Hayes coming back for Sir Anthony Dominguez and Christian Pache. And Christian Pache, by the way, already DFA'd by the Orioles, so a short stint in Baltimore for Christian Pache there. We'll see if he lands with their minor league team at all. But I would say I liked the trade, but I liked it for Hayes to become a platoon player. I didn't think that right when it happened, Hayes would be an everyday player. Rob Thompson's made it clear that they're going to give him a shot to be an everyday player, and that's fine. I think if it's, you know, May or June, but to me, when you're in a pennant race here and you're trying to figure out, you know, how to lock down this division and make sure that you don't slip up here, I don't know if testing out if Austin Hayes is a true everyday player is what I envisioned when they traded for him. Because people will say, oh, Austin Hayes was a starter in the All-Star game last year. Like, yeah, Austin Hayes had a much better year last year. But at the same time, like, the fans vote for the starters in the All-Star game. So to me, the starter or the All-Star game starter holds so little weight in Major League Baseball. And as soon as I heard people saying that, I was like, all right, just relax. He was voted by the fans to start in the All-Star game. But
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He's had a nice little start to his Phillies tenure here, and they expect him to be able to hit off righties, and he mashes lefties. Like, that is something that, without a doubt, he is able to do. He is able to put a really good at-bat up against the lefty every time. I think you saw it against Nestor Cortez the other day where he smoked a double, almost had a homer or two against the right-hander, and that would have been great if he just hit that ball out. And I was so ready for his first, like, his walk-off moment as a Philly and his welcome to Philadelphia moment, but we didn't get it. But anyway, I think he's fine in left field. He's, I would say, about average as a fielder. But I really just expected him to be playing against lefties. But it seems like they want him to be the everyday left fielder and that they're going to go with more of the Marsh, Rojas platoon in center field. So wasn't really expecting that. Would have loved a guy who would have been a platoon player. And I thought he was that guy. But at the same time, he is young. I believe he's only 29 years old here. So I think that there is potential for him to be an everyday player, because I think that if you get him with Kevin Long and he can work with him and kind of fix his swing a little bit, maybe they saw something prior to the trade deadline. And look, Dave Dombrowski said that he and his people have been wanting to get Austin Hayes here for a couple of years now. And because of, you know, some of the young outfield depth that's there in Baltimore, and you know, we know about how loaded their farm system is, I just don't think he saw enough time there. But it's just a weird thing to experiment when you're going into a pennant race and you're trying to win a World Series here. And it just didn't feel necessarily like the win right this second type of move that they could have made when going for a platoon outfielder. So, or I guess not a platoon outfielder in this case, but he'll be playing every day. So Austin Hayes, expect him in the lineup every day against righties, against lefties. And we will see, you know, how this ends up turning out. He's got the 893 OPS against left-handers, but he's got an opportunity to kind of prove himself against righties here. And they're giving him the confidence, so that could be something that helps as well. And then you have the Estevez trade, which, look, I really, really like the Estevez trade. I think doing it early ended up being a really, you know, big thing for the Phillies because of what we saw with the reliever market the day of the trade deadline. Like, first of all, just the market in general, zero top 100 prospects in Baseball America's rankings got traded at the trade deadline. It just goes to show you how huge the market was for some of these guys, because it didn't feel like there were true stars out there to be had at the trade deadline. And with the extended wild card, as we know, it gets really, you know, the playoffs get really diluted, I guess, in a sense, as to where there are so many teams that feel that they're in it, that there are teams buying. And like, you have teams like the Pirates, who I've mentioned could be a threat in the postseason if they were to get in. You've got teams like the Mets. You've got some of these teams competing in the wild card to where they're going, shoot, we're only one or two games out. Let's buy here. And so you have teams like that that are buying. And then, but I thought the Estevez trade was really good. They ended up giving George Klaassen up, who, again, really liked in the minors. He's got a great slider and throws 98 and has been probably the highest riser in the Philly system this year. And I know people were upset to get rid of him, but they get rid of Klaassen. They get rid of Samuel Aldegari as well, another decent pitching prospect, probably both top 10 prospects within the Philly system. But compared to what some of these other teams gave up on the day of the trade deadline, like San Diego gave up a ton to get Jason Adam, and they end up getting Tanner Scott too, but they gave up a ton to get those guys. And for Adam, somebody who isn't even a closer. And I was really surprised by the market this year, just how much players were costing, especially guys in the bullpen. And then Dave Dombrowski takes advantage of that and then says, all right, Baltimore, you had interest in Gregory Soto. We don't see a fit for him here at all. We don't trust him here. Give us one of your top 10 prospects and we'll give him to you. And they get Seth Johnson for Gregory Soto, which I thought was such a nice, fun little move, just because it kind of shows you that Dave Dombrowski and the front office as a whole understands what this market is and that they were able to take advantage of it and essentially replace him with Tanner Banks at the same time, which they end up trading William Bregola, who decent, very decent international infield prospect for the Phillies. I like Starlin Cabo probably more, who's grading out as like an 80 grade defender in the minor leagues, which is absolutely insane at shortstop. So I'm okay with them giving up Bregola just because they have a little bit of depth there. But Dave Dombrowski was able to take advantage of this market for sure. And the fact that he traded for Estevez 2 days before the deadline and before everybody could kind of figure out what guys were going to cost this year, I thought that ended up paying dividends in the end. So they don't have to give up maybe as much as they would have had to, say, 2 days later. But yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how this ends up playing out, because they really didn't end up going for the big fish. Luis Robert stays. Garrett Crochet stays. Jack Flaherty, probably the biggest pitcher traded, ends up going to the Dodgers. I thought Randy Arozarena would have been an awesome grab for the Phillies, but they'll see him right here in this series. And it's funny, the two biggest hitters that get traded are probably Randy Arozarena and Jazz Chisholm. They're the two biggest hitters that could have gone to the Phillies. And then the Phillies end up playing them in the first two series after the trade deadline. So we'll see how that works out. But yeah, it wasn't the most inspiring deadline. It felt like sort of a, but we won't put all the chips in sort of deadline. But it feels like they're kind of playing for more of an extended window here, just because they have so many young prospects that they've been able to develop. And Preston Mattingly and Brian Barber have been able to kind of build up this system and just get the Phillies to a spot where in the past they were one of the bottom tier farm systems in the league, and now they're continuing to rise year after year. So didn't love the trade deadline. I would say it was a pretty average deadline. They got better. They addressed some needs, but I truly thought they could have done more. So, and I would have been okay with maybe dealing some of the prospect capital. But that's the way they went, and we'll see how it works out for them. So, Bryce. I got to talk about Bryce before I wrap it up and get into the Mariners series preview, because Bryce is one for his last 30. He is struggling mightily right now. The whole top of the order is struggling right now. Trey Turner is hitting under 200 over the past like week and a half. Alec Boehm had four RBIs in the month of July after having 70 through June, which is just absolutely insane. Schwarber struggling too. It's been a mess at the top of the order, and that Yankee series kind of came to a peak, and it was just really bad. But I think they'll be fine. It just feels like they're all kind of going through it at the same time, which is really unfortunate for the top four guys in your order, not what you want to do. And then I just think with Harper, he's pressing way too much right now. Like, it just feels like every at-bat, he knows that he's in a 1-for-30 stretch and that he'll ground out. And again, I understand the frustration. I'm frustrated too. But he just goes back to the dugout, and they all look to him as kind of the guy that's their lead-by-example leader. Like, I would say Kyle Schwarber is the vocal leader, but Harper is the lead-by-example guy. And when you see Harper with his head down after, like, another ground or double play grounds into, I think it takes a toll on the team, and it kind of kills the confidence of the team a little bit. So I really hope he can kind of get it together in Seattle. Maybe if he continues to struggle, they sit him down for a day here, but I wouldn't expect that because Bryce, as we know, likes to play every day. And it's just one of those stretches right now he has to get out of it. I just don't understand, unless it's the hamstring thing. And I also know he got hit in the hand about a week ago. I wonder if that has anything to do with it. But at the same time, he's Bryce Harper. And we know that it just takes one little thing for it to click back for Bryce, and he's back to being Bryce Harper again. So I'm not overly concerned, but it's been really bad. It has been really bad for Bryce Harper. And grounding into that double play at the end of the game the other day just kind of put a perfect little bow on what was that just awful Yankee series to watch for the Phils there. But they are back at it tonight on the West Coast. Some late night Phils this weekend as they take on the Mariners, who are tied for first place with the Houston Astros right now. So big series here for both teams. Tonight, you will have the stopper for the Phillies coming off his complete game shutout. You got Tyler Phillips, 1.80 ERA through three starts, 3-0, 19 strikeouts, going against Brian Wu, who has been very good for the Mariners this year. And like I said, this pitching staff for the Mariners has been one of the better ones in baseball. And he's got a 2.35 ERA and a 4-1 record there. Then on Saturday, Phillies, hopefully the last start for Coby Allard, who gave up the 3-run home run last game against the Guardians and ended up giving up that 3-0 lead. He'll be going up against Bryce Miller, another really good starter for the Mariners. 3.46 ERA. He's got 109 strikeouts on the year. Again, Mariners have tough pitching, so the Phillies' offense is really going to have to come out of this quickly, or it could be yet another series loss for the Phillies in Seattle, and you don't want to make it six straight. But then you've got a really, really good matchup on Sunday with Zach Wheeler looking to bounce back from that start against the Yankees this week, going up against Logan Gilbert, who's got a 3.11 ERA and 136 strikeouts. So good pitching matchups this weekend, or good pitchers going for the Mariners this weekend. And you hope that the Phils offense can sort of wake up here a little bit and get it going against a team that is definitely going to be a postseason team. And they're going to be facing a lot of postseason teams coming up here as they go out to the West Coast. They go out to Seattle for three here. They go out to the Dodgers, and then they have four against the Diamondbacks before they come home to play the Marlins and Nationals. So some tough West Coast games coming up, and they're going to have to play well or else things are it's going to get getting pretty panicky here in Philadelphia if they don't get it together. But that is going to do it for this edition of Phillies Today. I want to thank everyone again for tuning in, as always. And for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.